Good morning and welcome to Focus. I'm Craig Cohen. We are closing in on winter, and as the weather turns colder, you may be wondering what you need to do to best protect the plants in your garden. We welcome those and other lawn and garden care questions on today's show as we talk with Sandy Mason, horticulture educator with the University of Illinois Extension. Sandy, welcome back to Focus.
Hey, thank you.
Glad to have you with us. We do these shows from time to time to help with problems in the home landscape. We can take a wide range of questions on anything from trees and shrubs to vegetables and flowers and even houseplants. Whether you're trying to solve a problem or you're looking for suggestions on what to plant, and yes, you can, in fact, still plant some things.
Absolutely.
If you want to. Your call is welcome this morning at 333-9455 or 800-222-9455. That's 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Or you can email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. We also welcome your questions on WILL's Facebook page, or you can tweet us. Our Twitter handle is Will Public Media. All of that dispensed with, I think before we go any further, we should talk about, you brought some book, some little books in called My Garden Journey. Tell us about this.
Yeah, actually, this was something, you know, probably the most commonly asked question I get at the Extension and our Master Gardeners get is, when do I do whatever? People want to know about timing, because even if you're a gardener, maybe you moved from California or Michigan or whatever, the timing is a little different on things. And often that's not something that's really covered well on the web as people are Googling things and trying to find things. And so we came up with this publication called My Garden Journey. And it really takes, it's the 12-month booklet for the most part. And it talks about everything from, okay, it's, if it's April, flower, what are you going to do with flowers, lawns, trees, vegetables, fruits, indoor gardening, and then general stuff. So we try to cover all the avenues. So you can go through month by month. You can look at October, and I'm sure we'll talk about things today on things you can still do in October.
Yep.
So everything from, you know, you can still plant garlic, you could certainly still plant spinach and some of the tougher vegetables. What are you going to do with those green tomatoes? You know, there's lots of things in here. And so I think this is really why we came up with it. And the nice thing is there's plenty of room to make notes. So you know that, okay, I need to make sure that I, you know, spray for bagworms and when to do that. And so it's really just really a nice thing to have, and you can have it from year to year and then have a better idea what you do in your own garden.
So it's kind of like a little checklist. Here's what you take care of in October. Here's what you can, if you want, do and plant. And it's a great idea. So you brought 10 copies of these.
I did.
And what we're going to do is, as this is the final hour of our fall fundraising campaign here on AM 580, we are going to encourage you to support WILL. And when you make a contribution of $40 or more, the first 10 folks that do that, we will automatically pass, send your way this My Garden Journey booklet from U of I Extension. Thank you very much for doing this.
Sure, absolutely.
The phone number to call to make that contribution is 217-244-9455. That's 217-244-9455, or you can give online at willpledge.org. And in a little while, we'll check in with David Teal, who's keeping tabs on how things are going in these final hours of the campaign, and we'll talk more about the fundraising side of things. But in the meantime, let's get to gardening. As we make the transition in the coming weeks from fall to winter, what are some basic steps you can take to prepare and protect the plants in your garden?
Well, I think one of the things certainly people can do is that if they do have anything that needs, that is not hardy, they need to think about whether they want to keep it or not. We've certainly had a frost, and a lot of things got nipped. You know, the top part of the plant maybe still looks, you know, might look a little brown. I always say it looks like cooked spinach at the top. But even if you have things like cannas or caladiums or, you know, tropical hibiscus, all those things may look a little fried, but those can still be brought in if you want to keep them from year to year. Now, if you don't want to do that, that's fine, because I know sometimes people will tell me, I don't want to grow cannas because I don't want to have to dig them up. Well, you know what? There's no police out there. They're going to say, why didn't you dig that up? You don't have to.
Right.
You can. Or you can just treat them like annuals. We do that with petunias and a lot of other things. We treat them like annuals, and we plant them every year. So you don't have to. So don't let that be an impediment to grow some of these great tropical plants. So you certainly can still bring those in. You just dig them up, let them dry up a little bit, and then you know, store them just in a paper bag, maybe put a little peat moss in there. You really don't have to do a whole lot. Just try to keep them as cool but not frozen.
How deeply should you water plants before the ground freezes.
Yeah, that is certainly with the drought and everything, we've gotten a little bit of moisture here, but we're still at a deficit for the most part. So we really want to make sure things are well watered. Probably the plants that we worry about the most are things like evergreens mm-hmm. and broadleaf evergreens. So if you have pines, spruces, boxwood, rhododendrons, any of those that keep their leaves through the wintertime, you really, really want to make sure that those are well watered going into winter. So even at this point, we're looking at maybe an inch of water a week. And so if they're not getting that through rain, then I would go ahead and water those plants and still water them even up until the ground freezes. So, you know, depending on what the temperature is, we may be watering, you know, certainly into November, maybe even into the 1st of December. So you really want to make sure things are well watered. Beyond evergreens, broadleaf evergreens would be any of your shrubs, anything that's new. If you have maybe some deciduous trees that you put in this year, last year, I feel sorry for you if you did because it was a tough year to add new plants. Yeah. But make sure those are well watered going into the winter.
Is there a danger as we get deeper into November or even early December that the water itself that you're pouring in will freeze?
Yeah, it's one of those things you don't want to overwater. You certainly want to make sure that the ground is moist. So if the ground is moist, the best thing to do is, you know, just check it. See if it feels moist, then I wouldn't worry about watering. But especially as long as they still have leaves, they could use that inch of water a week or thereabouts.
So it's kind of like, you know, how much water did you need? Enough.
Enough. Yeah, no kidding. It's, you know, that's what keeps me in business.
Yeah.
If it was this rock solid, you know, do this, do that. But it depends on the plant, depends on the soil, so you know that way I always have a job. Right?
That's right. It's gardening and cooking. They're kind of the same. It's
go.
The same thing with ingredients.
That's right.
This is Focus. I'm Craig Cohen, and my guest is Sandy Mason, horticulture educator with University of Illinois Extension. We are taking your questions on lawn and garden care today, as we do from time to time, to help with problems in the home landscape and to field any queries you might have about trees and shrubs or vegetables and flowers or even houseplants. To speak with Sandy Mason, call 333-9455 or 800-222-9455. That's 333-WILL or 800-222-WILL, or you can email your question or comment to will-talk@illinois.edu. We'll start this morning with Karen in Charleston. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
What's your question for Sandy Mason?
This is a two-part question. I was given an oak leaf hydrangea as a gift late in the spring,
mm-hmm.
and I never got it planted. It's been doing great in its pot, but I know now that I'm going to have to make a decision. And the spot I wanted to put it in is a spot with some porcupine grass. So I wanted to move my grass and then plant the oak leaf hydrangea there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is it too late now to do that, or can I still do all that, or should I just wait until spring? And if so, how do I keep the oak leaf hydrangea healthy until spring?
Well, I definitely would go ahead and plant it. Actually, this is not too late to be planting trees and shrubs. I've planted them clear into Thanksgiving, and they've been fine. So trees and shrubs actually are a lot easier when it comes to that late planting. So I would go ahead and plant it and, you know, go for it. You're better off getting it into the ground. It's much harder to try to keep things in pots.
Okay.
Because they still need a cold period. You can't just bring it in as a houseplant. Mm-hmm. They need a cold period. And so it's so hard to do that when they're in pots.
And so it's okay to also transfer the porcupine grass now? And would I cut that all off to do that or leave the fronds on?
Yeah, I think I would probably, we're a little bit, you know, typically I'd probably want to do in the perennials and stuff. We usually do that in September. So we're getting mm-hmm. a little bit later for that. But I think you'd still be fine, especially if it's one that's been there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I would, anything that still, you know, looks good, you know, green growing, whatever, I would just leave it on.
Okay.
And not cut it back, because as long as it's got some foliage on there, it can help it to recover through the transplant shock. So I would just leave it on and then do whatever you want to after that. Once it just dries down naturally. So I would say go for it.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks so much.
Uh-huh.
Thanks very much for the call. And again, we welcome your calls at 333-9455 or 800-222-9455. I think for, at least for those of us that are, to put it kindly, more novices when it comes to gardening.
Yeah, that's not what you said off air.
No, off the air I said, no, I kill plants. I don't intend to. It just,
it's okay.
My family has a long history of plant killing. Okay, so for many of us, we have this perception that planting and growing kind of just, you reach a date and you just have to stop for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess there are certain things that maybe there's even a benefit to planting later in the fall.
Yeah, I think absolutely, especially this year because it was so hot and dry, and it does get tough to try to do any planting. So people may have delayed things, and I think it's fine. But because one of the things is, as long as the ground temperatures are fairly warm, and last time I checked, they were like at 60 or something at 4-inch levels. They were really pretty high for this late. As long as the ground temperatures are above 45 degrees or so, their roots can still grow. So there is something to be said for that. So go ahead and do it. Then they can put down some roots when it's not quite so that hot, dry kind of stuff. So for a lot of plants, actually, they appreciate this kind of weather. Certainly lawns, we're getting kind of late to try to do any seeding of lawns. But certainly the lawns, you'll see, the lawns actually love this kind of weather when it's moderate temperatures and a little bit of moisture. So there's certainly a lot of things that do quite well late season.
Are there some vegetables that you can actually plant and grow through the fall and winter?
Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of those really, really tough things. Things like spinach and kale and all those kind of plants that you think of, those leafies, usually we call them leafies, are really pretty tough, and they will tolerate a lot of cold temperatures. There's a lot of interest now on actually getting them through the winter a little bit longer through something called low tunnels. Mm-hmm. And it's really kind of an interesting process. We have one out at the Idea Garden there at the U of I Arboretum on South Lincoln Avenue, and it's this whole idea of actually using, it sort of looks like a mini greenhouse, but there's no heat, as in there's no heat other than what the sun provides. And a lot of people are getting into that in doing it in their own backyard. So it's something to look into. And it actually is one of those things that really stretches the season out. The first time I ever saw this idea of low tunnels was in Michigan. And I always thought, if they can do it in Michigan, we can do it here, yeah. Right? I've seen it done in Maine. I mean, if they can do it there. So there's a lot of interest that way. But even if you don't have that, actually just selecting those plants that will tolerate really cold temperatures and is really one of the ways to go.
So some kinds of lettuce, kale.
Yeah, lettuce, it's a little bit iffier. But if you go to some of them, anything that has a lot of substance to the leaf, I always think of. So kale and spinach, always, has some, lettuce gets a little bit harder because it's a little thinner
leaf. How about some things that maybe have a little more of a basement, like radishes or carrots or, things that are handle a little bit more.
Yeah, those actually, if you can, get them up, you could still probably do that. We're getting a little bit late for them to go ahead and germinate and do their thing, but you certainly could go ahead and try those as well. Even things like beets, because you can certainly still eat the greens on those as well. So there's lots of things like that that people can think of. And garlic actually needs to be planted this time of year. We always plant that.
I've heard some people say that frost can actually enhance the taste, at least to them, of some vegetables.
Certainly a lot of the root crops are actually much better after they've been frosted. So things like, parsnips and, carrots and a lot of those actually are better after they've had a little bit of a cold spell. So we don't have to give up on vegetables just because it's getting cooler.
This is Focus. I'm Craig Cohen. We're closing in on winter, and as the weather turns colder, you may be wondering what you need to do to best protect the plants in your garden. We're talking with Sandy Mason, horticulture educator with University of Illinois Extension. We're taking your questions on anything from trees and shrubs to vegetables and flowers, even houseplants. Whether you're trying to solve a problem or you're looking for suggestions on what to plant, your call is welcome this morning at 333-9455 or 800-222-9455 or email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. We also have a different phone number for you to dial. I want to mention briefly, 217-244-9455 is the number to call to support WILL as we conclude our fall fundraising campaign. David Teal's in studio with us, and David, looks like somebody handed you a sheet, maybe with some names to thank.
Yeah, we've got lots of names to thank this morning. Michael and Ann of Shelbyville, Roger Johannensmeyer of Edwardsport,
thank you.
Indiana. So,
great.
Yeah, this is terrific. Lori Sieber of Urbana.
Thank you, Lori.
Mara Wade of Champaign.
Thank you.
People all across the area. Sarah Dutta and Darren Humphreys of Bloomington.
Excellent.
And Kathleen and Terry Roush of Muhammad. There are many more. We've heard so far from over 100 donors this morning and raised at over $11,300. But we're right near the end of the drive.
Yes.
This is it. So if you've been putting it off, stop right now. Well, actually, don't stop. Go to the phone, 244-9455. Make that call, willpledge.org. Either way.
And again, we have 10 copies, thanks to Sandy, of this My Garden Journey we were talking about, this booklet which you can use as you do your gardening over the course of the year. The first 10 folks who call in with a contribution of $40 or more during this hour will receive a copy of this My Garden Journey. Again, that's at 217-244-9455. As we are closing in on $100,000 raised during this campaign, I think we're somewhere in the 97,000 range. We can get to 100,000 by the end of the hour with your help. Again, that's at 217-244-9455. And David, I assume you'll keep us posted on updates throughout the hour.
I will.
Excellent. Let's take some more calls. We'll go next to a caller in Mattoon. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And what's your question for Sandy Mason?
I was wondering about planting some mums now, and I wondered if it would be, at this point, would it be better to wait till spring?
Well, actually, it looks like the forecast is going to be pretty good for the next few weeks. And I say usually if you get them in, I would say before mid-November, usually in pretty good shape. Probably the biggest thing I've noticed with mums is you just really need to make sure they're in a well-drained area over the winter time. If it's really wet or we have a particularly wet fall or whatever, sometimes they don't do as well over the winter. But I would enjoy them. Actually, a lot of times you can get them on sale this time of year and...
Well, they're a little hard to find in spring anyway.
You're absolutely right. You can only find them in the little four-inch, the little bitty plants usually in the spring, the only way you can find them. So I'd say go for it, too.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Sure.
Well,
thanks for the call.
Bye.
Next up is Joanne in Urbana. Hi, Joanne.
Hi. I have to dig up a pretty big spirea, bridal wreath, to repair a sewer line. And I wanted to know whether I should cut it back substantially, or level it, or what should I should do?
So you're planning on doing that yet this year, or
next week?
Next week, we've got it down to the hour, don't we? What I would do, and I'm kind of hem-hawing around here because it's going to be easier to move it more than likely if it's cut down. But if you cut it down, then you're going to lose the flowers for next year. So, and if you don't mind, then that's fine. My feeling is generally, I know people have different opinions about things, but my feeling is as long as if there's still green leaves on it, I don't know if it still has leaves, but if there's still green leaves on it, I'd like to leave those on. So after they get transplanted, they can hopefully do maybe a little bit of recuperation before we get into the winter.
Should I just prune it the way I would normally prune it in the spring? Like take a fourth of the oldest stuff out right now?
Absolutely. You might just do that, just a light pruning rather than trying to do any heavy pruning. Because, all those stems and stuff are food reserves for the plant. So we don't like to do a lot of heavy pruning, especially if it's going to go through something that's fairly traumatic, like moving it.
Okay.
So I'd kind of leave that up to you. But
okay, thanks
okay,
very much.
Good luck.
All right, thanks for the call. Next up is Rick in Robinson, Illinois. Rick, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning.
I am calling about volunteer plants. My practice for years has been to leave all the above-ground foliage and seeds for the wildlife during the winter. I get, of course, a lot too many of fox and things, but I can usually identify them well enough to rogue them out. Do you think that this is a worthwhile practice, or should I shear everything down now?
Yeah, it's really a tough call because it is, I totally understand what you're saying, and it does help the wildlife. Any of those seeds and stuff that are out there does help wildlife, gives them cover, certainly for the wintertime, as well as giving them the opportunity to have some seeds or something else available. So I guess that said, the other problem is, of course, just what you were saying. So I think if you have something that's particularly weedy that you have a lot of problems with, you might decide to go ahead and at least remove the seed heads for those. What I'm thinking of as I'm looking around my yard, garlic chives is one of those plants that just reseeds like crazy for me. It's probably not giving because it's not so much of that little grass seed or something. It's probably not giving maybe wildlife nearly as much. They're not obviously not eating enough because it's really weedy in my yard. So that one, I go ahead and take the seed heads off of it. So you kind of have to decide for that. But I think it's a good practice to leave things up if you can. But we don't want to create so much headache for us come springtime that you're ready to quit gardening. So there's a happy medium somewhere in there.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck. Nice to hear from you.
Thanks for the call. This is Focus. I'm Craig Cohen. She's Sandy Mason, and she's the horticulture educator with University of Illinois Extension. We're taking your questions on anything from trees and shrubs to vegetables and flowers to houseplants. Whether you're trying to solve a problem or you're looking for suggestions on what to plant, your lawn and garden care questions are welcome this morning at 333-9455 or 800-222-9455. That's 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL, or you can email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. And again, a reminder, we have a different phone number for you to dial, 217-244-9455. We're now down to, I believe, the final 33 minutes of our fundraising here on AM 580. I know over on FM 90.9, they're going to be talking to you about the importance of your contribution for another hour beyond that. But we're about to wrap things up here on AM 580. And so this is the final opportunity for you to support WILL AM during this fall fundraising campaign. David Teal's alongside with us. And David, we are counting on that support to put us over the top, ideally over $100,000 in support during this campaign.
Well, the great thing is we are over 100,000. We're at
really?
Yeah, the last update I got was $101,620, and that's from 111 pledges for this morning, so far more than that. We want to get to 105,000 by the end of this hour. And you know how to do that, of course, 244-9455 or online at willpledge.org. And, of course, 217 area code if you're listening online. And you're, you know, you can listen to us from pretty much anywhere at this point. We want to say thanks to a few more folks that I didn't thank last time. Linda Link of Champaign, William Long of Bloomington, Willie Cochran of Champaign, Robin Hadley of Champaign, Ellen Jacobson Iserman of Urbana, Mimi Omerod of Champaign, and Sally Otness, I believe, Otness of Urbana. So
excellent.
So a whole bunch of people have been calling in and helping us out, and really, we really do appreciate it. But need a little more time to get over the hump. 105,000 by the end of this hour. That's what we want.
I'm so excited. We've crossed that $100,000 mark and now closing in on 105,000 in support of WILL. You can be next. Show your appreciation for all of the great conversations that you hear on Focus, all the in-depth news and thoughtful analysis that you hear on Morning Edition and All Things Considered and Fresh Air and Talk of the Nation and This American Life and Car Talk. What a great collection of programs we have here on WILL AM. The phone number to call again is 217-244-9455. And thanks to Sandy, you could also get in on this great My Garden Journey booklet. Sandy, you were talking about this earlier. It's a great way to keep track of what you're planting, what tasks you might want to accomplish in your garden over the course of the year. And I guess what's the key thing to take out of this booklet for October? If there was one thing that you would say, oh, this is the most important thing you absolutely have to do in the month of October.
Well, I think, you know, part of it is certainly planting. If you want to do planting, trees and shrubs, those kind of things. But the other thing is don't underestimate the power of weeding in October. We always think of weeding in spring and summer and stuff, and we sort of forget about it in October. But you'd be amazed how much you can get accomplished in October if you do some weeding now. Yeah. You know, the weather's a little bit nicer. It's not so hot. Those kind of things. So because chickweed, henbit, there's a lot of things that will come up this time of year, even late season like this. So
plus,
take care of it now.
If you wait a month or two, the ground will be so hard, I imagine it'd be a real challenge
to weed. It makes it a little bit harder.
Yeah.
So
take care of it right now.
So,
again, the first 10 folks who call in and make a contribution of $40 or more, we will pass along as our thank you, thanks to Sandy, this My Garden Journey booklet, which will be just really helpful for you as you're tending to your garden over the course of the entire year. Again, that phone number is 217-244-9455 to support WILL, 217-244-9455, or you can make that secure gift at willpledge.org. And as I have been saying repeatedly over the last week, you hear your dollars at work all year long and the programs that you rely on, and you make sure that they're here for everyone, not just for you, but for everyone in the region, including some folks who maybe aren't in a position to contribute themselves. 244-9455 is the phone number to call. And then our other numbers to call this morning, if you want to talk with Sandy Mason, you can call 333-9455 or 800-222-9455. That's 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. And we will take more of your calls after a very short break. This is Focus.
President Barack Obama and Republican nominee Mitt Romney had several testy exchanges in their last debate.
I had a question, and the question was, how much did you cut them by?
You want me to answer
how much did you cut them by?
I'm happy to answer the question.
Tonight, they'll share the stage one last time to discuss foreign policy. I'm Mara Liasson. Join us for special coverage of the third presidential debate from NPR News.
Tonight at 8 on AM 580.
Support comes from the Klein Center for Democracy on the U of I campus with the 2012 Klein Symposium keynote address, Dealing with Debt and Deficits in a Dysfunctional Political Environment, by Dr. Norman Ornstein of the American Enterprise Institute, Monday, October 22nd at 7:30 p.m. at the Alice Campbell Alumni Center Ballroom. Details at kleincenter.illinois.edu.
Well, we almost made this hour politics free. This is Focus. I'm Craig Cohen, and my guest today is Sandy Mason, horticulture educator with University of Illinois Extension. We're closing in on winter, and as the weather turns colder, you may be wondering what you need to do to best protect the plants in your garden. We are fielding questions about that, and really about anything else you want to know about lawn and garden care, from trees and shrubs to vegetables to flowers to houseplants. Whether you're trying to solve a problem or you're looking for suggestions on what to plant in the late fall and into the winter, or even if you're already looking ahead to what you'll do next spring, your call is welcome. To join our conversation, call 333-9455 or 800-222-9455. That's 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL, or email your question to will-talk@illinois.edu. Next up, we have Pam in Urbana. Hi, Pam.
Hi. I have a question about a geranium plant. I have it potted, but I've taken it out of the pot. I wanted to rest it over the winter, mm-hmm. and I was wondering if it was too cold for it, if it was refrigerated.
I would not refrigerate it. And your thinking is you wanted to refrigerate it because?
Well, I just wanted to let it rest over the winter.
Okay. A better thing, I would think, is because they really don't need that cold period. Geraniums, that geranium we grow as an annual, is a perennial. It just happens to be, because we're so cold in the wintertime, it doesn't stay as a perennial. Mm-hmm. So you can do, and you don't want to bring it in as a houseplant, because they'll grow as a houseplant.
Oh, I'll bring it in as a houseplant. I thought it would just be better if it was totally rested.
Nope.
I didn't know.
Nope.
Okay.
No, they're one of those plants that actually does just fine if you just grow it on as a houseplant. There's a lot of plants like that, coleus, and I've even done it with impatiens, and, you know, a lot of those things that we call annuals, you just grow them on as a houseplant. Geraniums, you can rest them if you want to, but what I have done is actually just leave them in the pot and then just kind of put them in a place where and just kind of let them dry down naturally and then start watering it come March or so. It's not as good. You don't get them, you know, you don't always have a 100% success rate with that. But if people just don't have the space to have them as a houseplant, you can let them rest that way. But I wouldn't put them in the refrigerator. They don't really need that.
Okay.
All right. Thanks
okay,
for the call.
Sure.
Next up is Nancy in Mattoon. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
What's your question for Sandy Mason?
Well, we're moving, and I have some plants in my yard that came from my grandma's house mm-hmm. and came from my mom's yard, and I'd like to take those with me, and I just am wondering when's the best time to transplant them. The new homeowner told me I could wait until spring if that would work best.
So what kind of plants are they? They're all different perennials?
Well, like there's some daffodils, some peonies, and hosta. Rose of Sharon.
Right. So are you able to plant them in the new location right away?
Yeah, I could.
Okay. So it'd be one of those things. I think ideally we're getting kind of late when it comes to especially some of the perennials. I get a little bit more nervous with those when we start transplanting those. But it is one of those things. Peonies, we generally always say to always just do it in the fall. So you're kind of at that point. For some of the other plants, you might actually want to wait till spring.
Okay. Okay.
Roses, Sharon, it'd probably be fine to move it now. So you might find a couple things. Maybe the peonies and roses, Sharon, you might move now. Some of the other plants, I think I would probably wait till spring.
I also have a forsythia bush.
Mm-hmm.
Can I move that now?
I would move that now. So I would think the woody, like shrubs and stuff like that you might want to move, I would go ahead and move them now. And you know, kind of get that out of the way. And then maybe with your peony, unless you don't divide it, then you could probably do that in the spring. It's just, they just don't do as well with spring divisions with peonies. And then for the other things, I think I'd probably wait till spring.
Okay, thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Thanks
sure.
for the call.
Bye-bye.
I love the idea of moving plants, you know, wherever you move to, if you've got, you know, family, you know, that have been planting trees or flowers or something for a lot of years and you're able to move it to a new location, that's, you know, and just sort of carry it on with you wherever you go.
Yeah, because there's so many plants, and especially we hear this a lot with peonies. Yeah. You know, it belonged to my grandmother kind of thing. And you want to take it with you, of course. And those are plants that live for a long time. There's no reason why you can't take it with you. So I probably hear about peonies probably more than anything. Roses, sometimes you'll hear people say, you know, belong to someone else. Irises are the other one that people say, you know, belong to my aunt, my grandma or whatever. And they always want to take those.
About 20, 25 years ago, we gave my grandfather this little tiny potted plant, just something to tend, something to, you know, there, just add something to his apartment. And it grew and it grew and it grew. And I mean, years and years later, it's still in the family's office because it was like an Audrey 2. It just kept growing.
So see, you have hope in your family.
Yes.
Somebody,
there is hope.
There is somebody.
I don't know who it is, but somebody has tended to that one plant. Next up is David in Champaign. Hi, David.
I was wanting to wonder if we couldn't put teasel on the very noxious weed list, just like Canada thistle, so that you get fined if you have it. Is there anything academic that you can do to get teasel off the seed market, out of the dried arrangement market, out of the forest shops? A little bit like loosestrife. It is a menace.
Yeah. I'm not sure I've ever seen, personally, I don't think I've ever seen seeds for sale, because usually there's plenty of it weedy everywhere else that people have just used it, you know, roadside. But I think that it is a good point that there are those plants that we tend to, you know, maybe use in the floral industry or whatever. People put them in dried arrangements, but they're actually really pretty darn weedy, and it's not something we want. Trying to get things through on a legal basis, of course, ends up being a big challenge for sure, but that is definitely one that needs to be on the list.
Yes, I know it's not always successful because loosestrife still appears in people's gardens and whatnot.
Right, because one of the loosestrife is illegal and the other one isn't. So it gets, so legality. But you're absolutely right. It is one of those things that you really have to wonder. When you see things along the roadside, sometimes that's a good indication that maybe there's a problem here, that maybe they're a little weedier than they should be.
But, and keep convincing people to break down their lawn and put in plants that are native, especially, because that helps to teach people to not mow the hell out of everything.
Right. And actually, I was at a conference, I guess, a program on that Doug Tallamy, Bringing Nature Home. And I'd really recommend that book to folks if they really are interested in, you know, sort of nature in your own backyard and what you can do to really improve the quality of nature that you have in your own backyard. It's really a good book. So Bringing Nature Home, Doug Tallamy, and he was an excellent speaker. Really enjoyed it. So that's kind of another end to that. On how to bring nature home.
Yeah, we had 42 VIP students at Rantoul on Saturday, and they were learning about species that are rough and tough, but very interesting.
Oh, good. Good.
Right.
Well,
thanks very
good.
Much for the
Thanks.
Call. And that reminds me to remind you to mention that Master Gardener classes are available.
Absolutely, right? Yes. Master Gardener, we're taking applications now, and check with your local extension office. There's Master Gardener programs throughout the state of Illinois and certainly into Indiana as well. And so just check with your local extension office. Most of them start, the actual classes start in January and then run through typically through April. There's quite a few sessions that go with it, but we're all taking applications for the most part right now, so you'd want to make sure you get your application in. It's really a great opportunity for a number of reasons to find out more about. They go training on everything from lawns to trees to flowers to you name it, fruits, vegetables. But then you get in with this camaraderie of people that have those same interests in gardening. And I think that's also the fun part. We have here in our area, we actually have some community garden projects. We certainly have the Idea Garden on South Lincoln Avenue. We have Douglas Discovery Garden over in Danville. We have Onarga Library up in Onarga has an Idea Garden garden as well. So there's gardens all over the place that master gardeners tend. But they also teach people about how to garden by those local demonstration gardens. So find out in your local area if that's going to work out for you. There is an online option as well, mm-hmm. for training. So if people can't go to the daytime training, they certainly can do that.
This is Focus. I'm Craig Cohen, and my guest today is Sandy Mason, horticulture educator with University of Illinois Extension. As we close in on winter and the weather turns colder, you may be wondering what you need to do to best protect the plants in your garden. You may have other lawn and gardening care questions. We welcome them this morning at 333-9455 or 800-222-9455. You can also email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. Those phone numbers again, 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. And remember that all-important number, 217-244-9455, to support WILL in the final, 18 minutes of our fall fundraising campaign. David Teal's alongside. And David, we have an extra special incentive for folks to call in this morning.
Yes, we haven't talked about that during this hour. So I want to remind our listeners that anybody who calls in 244-9455, 217 area code, before 12 noon today will be entered into a drawing to win an Apple iPad 3. It's not necessary to make a pledge when you call, but we certainly hope that you will take that opportunity to make your pledge and support the fine service here on WILL. But again, it's before 12 noon today, 217-244-9455, Raymond Maris of Rosedale, Indiana, 11. And, you possibly could too, but you got to call right now. We are at $102,060.
Excellent.
Yeah, there was, a $100 pledge on the web, kicked us over the $102,000 mark. We really want to get to $105,000 by the end of this hour, but maybe by noon today. So call now.
217-244-9455. And as they say, that's not all. The first 10 folks who make contributions of $40 or more will receive this My Garden Journey, a great booklet that Sandy brought in, produced by University of Illinois Extension, that gives you detailed information about what you should do every month of the year to maintain your garden, a really great sort of guide to keep with you as you tend to that garden. So great idea, and thank you again for offering those first 10 folks that call in with contributions of $40 or more. And we do encourage the "or more" part. If it's within your means, consider maybe a dollar a day or even $1,000 if that's within your budget. But call now to 217-244-9455 to support all of the terrific news and information that you rely on from WILL. And let's take some more calls now. We have Steve on the line from Mattoon. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I've got blackberries and raspberries and gooseberries, and it's my understanding I need to prune those.
Well, it depends. probably, are these ever-bearing raspberries, or do you know raspberries?
They're not ever-bearing.
Okay. So what you'll find with those is, and not so much with the gooseberries, but with the brambles, the stem, the cane that produces, just produces once, unless they happen to be everbearers. And so that dies. So you want to get that out of there. And typically this time of year, it's really easy to figure out which one are the older ones. They tend to be browner in color. They usually actually will kind of almost pop off. So just sort of cleaning them up. You might also want to remove anything that's really small. Like if it's pencil size or smaller, those canes, I'd go ahead and just get those out of there. You might find that sometimes they tend to sort of sucker up and they end up outside of the area that you want them to be. So this is kind of the time to do a lot of cleanup for those. Gooseberry is a little bit different. You don't have to do that annual pruning on those, but to really keep them productive, usually what we want to do is that every, you know, when they get to, when a cane gets to be, or a stem gets to be 3 to 5 years old, certainly 3 years, a little over the 3 years, they start to not be as productive. So you want to encourage new growth. So if you, if they're brand new plantings, you don't really have to do too much. But if it's, you can see the older canes are, they're not really so much cane, but it's more like a branch. If it's starting to look really craggly, I don't know how else to describe it. You really want to get those out of there and encourage new growth on those. But you only have to do that every, you know, it's not nearly that annual thing that you have to do with brambles.
On those makes sense. Brambles, do you cut them back to like 12 or 18 inches high or not?
You can on those. You actually can. But the ones that are, you know, the ones that produce this year, you want to remove completely. The older ones. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And what is the name of the book that has the 12 months of...
Well, this is, it's called My Garden Journey, and University of Illinois Extension has put this booklet together. Again, if you or anyone else would like to contribute $40 or more in support of WILL, the first 10 folks that are doing that, we're going to send a copy straight out to you. The number to call to do that is 217-244-9455. Steve, thanks for your call.
Much.
All right.
And they can also check with their local extension office. Some of the extension offices have this, as well as the Champaign and I know Vermilion and Fort Iroquois offices have it.
Great. Let's go next to Chris in Mahomet. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a couple of my neighbors have some nice oak trees, and squirrels have been kind enough to plant some of those acorns in my garden. And I have a couple that I let go for a few years, and then I have a couple I dug up this spring and put in pots. And I don't know if I should let those, and they seem to have done very well in the pots, whether I should let them sit over the winter in the pot if they might make it, or if I should try to get them in the ground. And then also the ones that are already in my garden I'll let go. How successful do you think I might be in transplanting those?
Yeah, so the ones in the pot, I would get them in the ground, to be honest with you, because you really need that. Anytime anything's in a small pot, you know, they have to go through a cold period. That's just the way it is with these. So they have to go through a cold period. But if they're in a pot like that, the soil freezes and thaws and freezes and thaws, and it's really hard on the plants. So you're better off getting them into the ground. If you don't really have a spot where you know you want to put them right now, what you can do is, like, if you have like a big pile of mulch or something, you can sink the whole pot, assuming it's plastic. You can sort of sink the whole pot in that big pile of mulch or somehow protect that pot so it's not doing that freezing and thawing thing. Or you could just temporarily, you know, plant it, those kind of things. But you're better off getting it into the ground if you can. The other ones, as far as transplanting, I'd probably wait till spring if you're going to transplant them. Typically, oaks are better at a spring planting. So you might think about doing that in the spring, if you want to go ahead and transplant those. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've got one that I've let go now for, it's been about 3 years.
Uh-huh.
It's probably, it's about 3 foot tall. And I'm not sure how big of a ball I should try to keep the root system intact with in order to move it.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. The one thing with those guys is that when they're young like that, they tend to have, you know, people talk about taproots all the time. And oaks tend to do that when they're young. As they get older, they kind of lose that. But when they're young, so it gets harder. So you're probably going to find that there's not a whole lot of side roots. When we talk about a ball, there really isn't a whole lot of side roots. But it's going to be a deep root more than likely. So you're probably going to have to spend more time going deep than you might typically think of. And one thing you can do, you know, it's getting to that size now. One thing you can do is if people sort of keep this in mind for something you know you're going to eventually transplant, is actually do a root pruning the year or so before you actually plan on moving it. And that's just a matter of just taking a spade and just, you're basically just trying to cut the root, but then you don't transplant it. And then that way it stays there and then hopefully produces some side roots. And it's kind of a good technique to try to get them to produce side roots before you actually do the transplanting process, and it's good for things like, you know, like oaks or even red buds and some of those that have a tendency when they're young.
Yeah, so just kind of come in at about a 45-degree angle, as deep as I can with the spade.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And then, yeah.
Very good.
Okay.
I appreciate your help.
Sure.
All right. Thanks for the call. I want to try and get in one more call. We have David on the line in Urbana. Hi.
Hello. As a bonsai person, what I do with those oak trees that are in pots is sink pot and all into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to come through great that way, and you don't have transplanting shock.
Yeah, that's fine. And that'd certainly be a good temporary thing to do if you want to just sort of have them hang out. Yep. Good suggestion. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for the call. What's the single most important thing you can do to protect your lawn and garden this winter?
You know, I think probably the big thing is if we don't get into to regular moisture, is just watering things.
Just watering.
Yeah. Water is always a it's one of those limiting things for plants. So it's definitely one of those things to keep in mind.
It is the magic elixir for
it
plants,
is,
animals as well,
and everything. Said water.
Well, we are closing in on the final minutes of Focus, and we want to take this time to remind you of the importance of your contribution and support of this station at 217-244-9455 or online at willpledge.org. I can't pass up this opportunity when we have you in studio, Sandy, to ask you, what do you listen to on WILL? What do you like about
this? Oh, gosh. I watch it. You know, to me, the biggest thing is that's how I get my news in the morning. I want to know what's going on. And so that's what I wake up to. Well, at first I wake up to music, which of course is wonderful. And then after that, because I'm usually listening to FM in the morning. But that's how I know what's going on in the world, is just finding out that news in the morning is really important.
Well, it's, I believe, worthy of financial support, and I hope that you agree and you'll make your contribution in support of this station now at 217-244-9455. We welcome back in David Teal. David, final opportunity to mention also this drawing to take advantage of.
That's right. So everybody who calls in before noon today calls in at 217-244-9455. That's our pledge number. They'll be entered into a drawing to win an Apple iPad 3. It's not necessary to make a pledge when you call, but we certainly hope that you will. And we want to make this final morning of our pledge drive, really final hour of it. In fact, we'll be going off the air, not going off the air, but going.
Well, we'll go to fresh air in
going,
about 8 minutes.
We're going off the pledge air, at least on AM in the next 8 minutes, but we've got about an hour left over on our FM station. So we want to do as much as we can in that next hour. 244-9455. WillPledge.org, of course, you can use to make your pledge. And so far, we've raised $12,820 today.
That's terrific.
$102,112 overall and 707 pledges for the drive so far.
That's fantastic.
So that's great.
A program like Focus is only possible because of individuals just like you who become annual contributors to WILL. You know, we provide in-depth news and information, thoughtful conversations, contextual analysis. But annual donors provide the funds that make it all possible. We simply can't do this without you, without annual donors like your friends and neighbors. If you've never supported the station before, please join the Friends of WILL. If it's time for you to renew, please take this opportunity to make your contribution, that annual donation, or perhaps an additional gift in support of WILL at 217-244-9455 or online at willpledge.org. David, we have lots of ways of saying thank you for those contributions.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the best way that we can say thank you, I think, is to be able to continue to do this year in, year out. Right now, we can keep producing Focus and doing a lot of other great programs in next year and the years to come. 217-244-9455 is the number to call, and you've got about an hour left to get in on that iPad drawing. But really, we want your call right now. We want the call for this program because, you know, a lot of people have called in during this hour to get their gardening questions answered, and that's great. But we hope that, you know, if you've got something useful out of the show this hour, we hope you'll call back right now at 217-244-9455 and make that pledge.
Remember, we do a lot of shows here on Focus that are designed to provide a public service to help you deal with some of the issues and circumstances and challenges in your own life. So one day we may have Sandy Mason in to talk about gardening. Another day we might have Kevin Waspy in to talk about financial planning. We have folks in to talk about health care. We also then, of course, devote a number of programs to important issues and ideas affecting our world, politics and the economy and the environment. environment and education and a variety of other issues. We do, I think maybe the key word is variety. We try and provide a variety of topics to explore each and every day here on Focus, and it's worthy of your support. But, you know, it's really just a piece of the puzzle. You add Focus in with everything else that we do with Morning Edition and All Things Considered and Fresh Air and Talk of the Nation. Before you know it, you really have a vibrant resource of news and information that you can tune into any day of the week, any time of the day, and really get a sense of what's going on in the world. That's something that we believe is worthy of support as well. In-depth news and thoughtful analysis only happens because of friends of WILL, your friends, your neighbors who step up and make contributions each year and become then our most reliable and largest source of funding. You know, there are other sources of funding out there for which we are grateful. We're grateful to have some federal support. We're grateful to have some state support. We're grateful to have funding through grants and through corporate donors and some other things. But the single most important and most reliable source, that's you. Your friends, your neighbors collectively make up the biggest piece of our funding pie. We simply couldn't do it without you. Please call 217-244-9455 or give online at willpledge.org. David, any additional updates to share at this point?
That looked like that's the last update I've gotten. So 12,820 okay. Today. We want to get to 15,000 by the end of today. And so, you know, we've got about an hour left to do it, but about a couple minutes left here on AM. So
yep.
Do it now.
That's as simple as we could put it. We're at the end of the fall fundraising campaign. Do it now. If you've been waiting, if you're one of those pledge procrastinators, take advantage of this moment right now, the final minutes that we're going to talk to you about the importance of your support here on WILL AM 580 and call 217-244-9455, or you can give securely online at willpledge.org. I want to say thank you to Sandy Mason, horticulture educator at University of Illinois Extension. Thank you for coming in this morning, Sandy.
Absolutely.
And thanks also to David Teal. David, thank you for your work this
morning. You are quite welcome.
A program like Focus, again, is only possible because of individuals just like you who contribute, so please do call now with that contribution. 217-244-9455. On tomorrow's show, after two centuries of explosive growth, the planet's population is widely seen as cresting within the next couple of generations. We'll talk with Andrew Revkin, Dot Earth blogger for the New York Times, about ways to shape and share ideas that can foster progress on a finite planet. We'll talk with him on tomorrow's Focus. Hope you can tune in then. Then on Wednesday, this August marked the 100th anniversary of the birth of Julia Child. We'll talk with journalist Bob Spitz, who spent time with Child in the early 1990s, and he's got a new book out called Dearie, The Remarkable Life of Julia Child. That's on Wednesday's show. Today's show is produced by Travis Stanzel. Kyle Mabry's our technical director. He handled your calls. I'm Craig Cohen.